If you'd like to open up to 2 Kings chapter 4, we're going through the life of Elijah and Elisha, and we've had a few with Elisha, and we come to one now, 2 Kings chapter 4, very well-known passage of Scripture. We will be looking at verses 1 to 7, so we'll be going through those, so I won't read them to start off with. But we'll go through each one as we get into this message. And the title of the message is Our Need and God's Supply. Our Need and God's Supply. You know, I've always found that it's in our hardships we most see God at work. In the trials and the tests that we have, we see God's hand and know His presence in a greater way than when things are going relatively smooth and easy. And in the midst of our needs, God always supplies. He may use the trial to teach us lessons. Lessons like trusting Him. Lessons of long suffering. He may be waiting for us to put our toes in the Jordan River, so to speak. Sometimes when adversity strikes, it can be a bit like running a marathon. Painful, challenging, and exhausting. And during the time of our need, we need to remain faithful and courageous. We must also stay steadfast in our devotion to Him, trusting at all times that He knows best what we need and when we need it. Yes, we will battle the feelings of doubt. We'll come across the emotions of fear and limitation. But God will supply the hope, the strength, not only to endure the hardships, but also to make the changes that are required of us so we can receive the blessings He desires to bestow upon us. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1, we read there, Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. We see here that trouble had come to a godly widow. Her husband, who had just died, we can see was a godly man. He had been in the full-time service for the Lord. We aren't told the reason for his death, but we do see that his dear wife lost not only her husband, but the creditor came along and she was about to have her two sons taken away from her. Now, this really was against Levitical law, which says in Leviticus 25:39, And if thy brother that dwelleth by thee be waxen poor and be sold unto thee, thou shalt not compel him to serve as a bondservant. Now, whoever this creditor was, he had no regard for God's law, neither did he have any pity or concern for a very sorrowful woman, a widow. Now, being a follower of God did not make this widow exempt from trouble, from poverty, or from bereavement. Christ does not promise His own a life of ease. He sent His disciples into the storm, Matthew 14:22. He allowed sickness and death to come to the house of His friends, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, in John 11, who tells us that Jesus specially loved. And we're reminded by the Lord in John 16:33, These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Now this godly widow knew who to turn to in trouble. She didn't turn or appeal to those in authority. She didn't go running to her neighbours. She went to God's man. She went to Elisha. And we, who are God's children, we have a refuge to whom we can go no matter what trials we face in life. Psalm 46:1 tells us that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. He's there. We need but just to turn to Him, to go to Him. He's a present help in whatever trouble we face. Do you know that there is no problem God cannot solve? If there was, He wouldn't be God. There is no difficulty in which He cannot find a way to take us through. And this widow simply told the prophet of her sorrow and her problem. She didn't tell Elisha what he might do or ask him to do any certain thing for her. She simply went to him and told him of her sorrow and the problem. Now, we may not have an Elisha to run to today, but in Jesus Christ, we have a greater than Elisha. You remember in Isaiah 37, verse 14, that the kings of Assyria had threatened Hezekiah with a letter. And Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up unto the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. You see, Hezekiah got a threatening letter and he didn't run around to his generals. He didn't run around to his servants, or he didn't even go to the prophets. What did he do? He went to the house of God and he spread his problem out before the Lord. And we save a lot of time in the hardships that we have if we don't go running here, there and everywhere trying to get it fixed by someone, or even worse, trying to fix it ourselves, if we would just go and get on our knees and lay ourselves out before the Lord. Allow Him to take care of us. The Lord helped Hezekiah. He delivered him from the hands of his enemies. You know, we're commanded, 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon Him. Why? Tell me. For He careth for you. Psalm 55:22, cast thy burden upon the Lord. It's amazing how the Old Testament is telling us already other things that the New Testament is trying to teach us. Cast thy burden upon the Lord and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. And this godly widow is asked a question in verse 2. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me what thou hast in thy house. And she said, thy handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. You see, she asked a question. Elijah replies, what do you do? And her reply was honest to the point. Thy handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. You see, if she had had great possessions, if she had had money or anything that she could have sold, well, then she would have been expected to do that to pay her debts. Because God's word says, Romans 13:8, owe no man anything. And you say, well, hang on, I'm paying off a house. So He's not talking about those sort of things. We're talking about getting into debt so badly that when trouble comes, you can't afford to pay anything and you lose a lot. All this woman had was a pot of oil. Now, that pot in those times, the word pot there means flask. So it's not very big at all. Might be not much bigger than a 1 or 2 litre water bottle type thing. That's all she had. And she didn't think much at all about it. All it was a pot of oil, a common thing in the homes of these people. And Elisha used what she had. Now, what do we have in our house? By a house, I'm talking about our lives. What do we have in our lives? Thank God we can say that we too have a pot of oil. See, in Scripture, the oil is always a type of the Holy Spirit. Now, Romans 8:9 reminds us, now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. As believers, we do have a pot of oil within us. Now, this widow was called to do something. Verse 3. Then he said, go borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbours, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. Notice she had to bring empty vessels. See, if she had bought vessels that are already filled, then Elisha would not have been able to fill them with the precious oil which was about to bring her deliverance from the bondage and the freedom from want and fear. Now, if we are to be filled with the Spirit, now we all have this Holy Spirit within us if we are born again, but the command to us is, be not drunk with wine, but be filled. We are commanded to be filled with the Spirit. And if we are to be filled with the Spirit, then that means we must first be emptied. You see, we must be emptied of our pride. If we harbor pride in our heart, the Holy Spirit cannot fill us. We must be emptied of our self-will. We must be emptied of our self-sufficiency. And we must be emptied of all things that hinder the Holy Spirit working in the fullness of His power every day in our life. Now this widow also, verse 4 tells us, when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour into all of those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. You see, there was something, or should I say, this was something that was between her and God alone. By shutting herself and her sons in, she was in fact shutting everything else out while God worked the miracle for her. You know, and I sort of wonder what the people may have thought that day when this widow, who they would have known she was a widow, they're close communities, they would have known she didn't have much, she was poor, that the creditor had knocked on the door and was ready to take her two sons. I wonder what the people thought of her asking for empty vessels. Surely in need, we want vessels filled with things, don't we? Not empty ones. Listen, as Christians, we are not to mind what people are saying about us as we do what God has asked us to do. When you faithfully do what God has asked you to do, there will be detractors. There will be people who want to sow doubts into the minds of others around you, about you. Try and cause problems in your lives. There are some people who object to everything. Those who raise difficulties and make objections are usually those who do the least and give the least. But brothers and sisters, don't mind that sort of people. Just do what God has asked you to do. Trust in God to carry you through regardless of what other people think are going on and what other people are saying about you. Verse 5 and 6. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons who brought the vessels to her. And she poured out. And it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more, and the oil stayed. You see, as long as the vessels lasted there empty, there was more than enough to fill them. And this teaches us all a very good lesson here, that God's blessings for us are only limited because we don't make room for them. There's no limit to God's love. There is no limit to God's care. There is no limit to God's provision. There is no limit in God's power to bless His people, if only we would make room for it. He gives an overflowing measure, far beyond our expectations, far beyond what we deserve, brothers and sisters. But we may well stunt the blessing by not being in a fit state to receive them. And God says to us in Psalm 81:10, "Open thy mouth wide and I will fill it." And Jesus said to those who believe on Him should flow rivers of living water, John 7:38. We limit God's blessings by not being fit to be filled, by not making right use of the blessings we've already gotten from Him. You know, God will give no further blessings to those who are neglecting or misusing the privileges they've already gotten off Him. And we have to see to it that we are right and that we are in a fit state to receive what He wants to bestow upon us. Psalm 66:18 says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." You see, as a believer, let's empty ourselves of worldliness. Let's empty ourselves of selfishness. Let's empty ourselves of the sins that so easily beset us, if we are to expect God to fill us with the blessing of His Spirit. And we need to take heed, all of us do, that we search our hearts, that we examine our own lives, not the lives of others, and see if there's anything that is hindering God working His blessing through us. And we need to give up that besetting sin, that one irritating sin we refuse to let go of. Give up the godless crowd that is just drawing us away from the godly crowd. Put away whatever hatred we have, and put away that pride, that evil temper that rises in us at times. The love of the world. We need to put them out of our hearts, and then you may expect God to fill it with His Spirit and His blessings upon your life. Second Timothy 2:21 says, "If a man therefore purge himself from these," and I'll go home and have a look at what he's talking about, "he shall be a vessel unto honour, sanctified and meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work." See, while the vessel's filled with all those prides and selfishness and self-sufficiency and all this, God can't fill us. As our brother said this morning, the way we think about people, the way we talk about people. You know, I had someone ask me once in a trial that they were in, and they said, "What do I do?" And I said, "Well, that's what the other cheek is for." Isn't that true? It's what the other cheek is for. You know, certainly every believer should have the desire to be a vessel of honour to God instead of a vessel that would bring reproach upon God, upon his church, and upon the name of the Lord. And if we purge ourselves from the known sin we have, as we've mentioned, the pride, the selfishness, and so forth, if we are dedicated and surrendered and sanctified unto the Lord, we will pray from an honest heart, Lord, take me, Lord, break me, Lord, mold me into a vessel that will be useful and honourable for your use in the church and out into the community to be the witness I am called to be for you. Now we see the results of the vessels being filled. Verse 7. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. See, the woman went straight to Elisha, and she awaited for further directions. Here's a wise, wise woman. She wouldn't depend on her own wisdom. She wouldn't depend on her own common sense. She did not ask advice from others. She came to the prophet of God and sought him out. You see, when God has filled us with his blessing, when God has filled us with his power, we still need to depend solely on him for wisdom and direction. We go to him to seek it. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with what? All thine heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. And what's the promise? He shall direct your paths. She also had to pay her debt first. This was her responsibility. Again, let us be reminded, Romans 13, 8, owe no man anything. And it's the Christian above all is the one who should avoid going into debt or pay it as soon as possible. And again, if you're paying off a house, and that's fine. We're talking about overextending. You know, when the global financial crisis hit, and I forget how many years ago that was now. Well done, 2008. So that's 18 years ago. Is that right? About that. People were just falling into complete heaps. Why? Because they were earning, say, $1,000 a week, and their commitments to pay were $2,000 a week. And when the creditor knocked on the door, they had overextended themselves. And I had a lot of people coming to me, what do we do? What do we do? And I said, well, there's another GFC. And they said, oh, don't tell me there's another one. And I said, yeah, it's called God's Financial Cure. Look to him, trust him, honour him, and he'll take care of you. It was no sin for her to owe, but once it was in her power to pay the debt, then she was responsible to pay up. Otherwise, she would have been dishonest. Now we see these vessels were filled and she had sufficient for her daily needs. No longer was she living in poverty. No longer were her two sons going to be taken from her. She now had resources on which she could draw. And there are many of us who are only got funds that we need. But the Lord takes care of us, amen. Many of us are just making ends meet, and praise God for it. Verse 7 again, she came and told the man of God, he said, go sell the oil and pay thy debt, and thou and thy children of the rest. And live thou and thy children of the rest. You know, you and I have a great spiritual power which we can draw upon. We have the Holy Spirit in all his fullness, if only we will make room for him and fill the conditions for that fullness. Empty ourselves of our prides and possessions, the things that we think we need and want, the things that we work so hard to acquire, which are only going to be left behind anyway, and allow him to fill us. See, not only did she have sufficient for her own needs, I don't know whether you've ever paid something off. That last payment's beautiful, isn't it? That's amazing. She goes to the creditor and says, here it is. You're not getting nothing of mine anymore. And that creditor, he was a heartless man. And she was able to meet the needs of her whole family. Now may those who are struggling under the stress and strain of the hardships of life be encouraged to trust God for supply as they fulfill their duties to God. You may not have excess, but you will have enough. We may not get a miracle, but brothers and sisters, I can tell you we can most certainly expect God's mercies if we seek him with all our hearts and wait upon him in faith. Now, there may be some here today who do not have a husband. Some may no longer have a father. Then depend upon your God, who is your husband, a husband to the widow and a father to the fatherless. Let those who God has blessed abundantly use it for his honour and glory under the guidance of his Spirit and under the guidance of his word. Do it justly as this widow did and serve God from a gracious heart in the use of what he's blessed you with. And just as Elisha was, let's be ready to do good to those who really need it. Now, I don't know everyone's spiritual state, but if there's someone here today or maybe listening who need Christ, don't go away empty. You can settle it today. You can be filled with all the fullness of God today by accepting and believing and receiving Christ as your Saviour. He will give you the pardon that you're looking for. Take away the fear of death. The penalty of sin can all be settled today. You will be able to dwell in the fullness of his grace and the strength of his Son. For those who are saved, if you're unsatisfied with your life, draw near to your Saviour. Drink from the well of living waters and be filled with the fullness of God. He'll welcome you and will never turn you away. The question is, won't you come? Won't you come? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for such an encouraging story in your word. And Lord, it's a story we read, but it's a truth that was lived out all those years ago. A truth that we are able to apply and to believe for our life. Christ has paid it all. You tell us that your grace is sufficient for us. That you are the God of all comfort. And whatever grace and whatever comfort we need, you are the God of it, and to you we should go. And we pray, Lord, if we are able to do well for others, that we do it. That we recognize that what we have, Lord, is a blessing from you. Not to be stored up for ourselves, but to be used for your glory. Empty us of our pride, of our selfishness, of our self-sufficiency and self-centeredness, so that you may fill us with your grace and your love and with your Spirit. And we thank you for being our God today. And we pray that we bring honor to your name. And it's in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.